It's good. It's good to be up in the house, and it's good to see the people who are coming and just partaking and just receiving what God has already planted here, what God has already done. Those wells that they dug, and then there was a well that Jacob dug. That well survived until the time of Christ, because in John 4, they're at Jacob's well. They went to Jacob's well there. And so, see, when a well gets uncapped, the potential is unlimited. And that's what God is releasing for you. He's releasing that for you. And I'm gonna just begin to speak a little bit about one of the wells that we've tapped into here today. Hallelujah. So if you will, go with me to 2 Corinthians 6. I know it's familiar to a lot. Some of this will be review. Some of it will not. Justin, it's time to sharpen the sword. Sharpen the sword. He knows what I mean. Sharpen all the sides. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm gonna jump down to it. But there's a lot here in this chapter, chapter 6. But and a lot of times we use some of these scriptures for other things. But here in verse 16, it says, "What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God." Just say that. I am the temple of the living God. And just as God said, "I will dwell in them and walk among them," or as it says in King James, "walk in them." "And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you." In other words, he's going to receive us. No rejection. No shadow. Just receive you. Come on. "And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me." This is how we become sons and daughters, is because we allow him to become our God. We allow him to become our king. We allow him to walk in us. To walk in us. LaRue likes to use this word, this big long word called perambulate. It just means to walk in you. Tammy, it's so awesome to see you this morning. Perambulate. We can say perambulate, or we can say walk in. I'm from Texas, so it's easier to say walk in. So we can walk in you. But what does it mean to have God walk in you? Well, this is what I wanted to explore today, because see, the more we understand about what it means to have God walking in us, the more correctly we can begin to do it. To begin to accept it and begin to receive it. See, part of the journey is learning to receive what God has already made evident to you. Part of the journey is for us to understand and then begin to accept and to begin to assimilate. I'm going to use a big word there. Assimilate. Assimilate what God has already given to you. Because when we begin to assimilate, when we begin to make it part of us, we begin to make it part of us. Now we're suddenly, everywhere that we go, guess what? God is going too. Everywhere that we go, God is already there. Why? Because you're there. Because you showed up on the scene. And because you showed up on the scene, Christ gets to do something he wasn't going to get to do. Because you showed up on the scene, God is already in the place. He's already habitating. Why? Because he's habitating in you, and everywhere you go, he gets to go with you. He gets to show who he is through you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We won't go there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, Jesus exemplified this. We're going to look. Let's go to John 5, I believe it is. He began to exhibit this in a remarkable way. But see, Jesus exemplifies totally and completely what the Father was talking about when he said, "I will walk in you." Because Jesus, as we know from the scripture, we'll read it here in just a second just to make it official, but he didn't do anything that he didn't see the Father do. Now, we think that pertains to his miracles. It pertains to his everyday life. It's got to pertain to our everyday life. When it pertained to his everyday life, it began to change the whole world. When it pertains to your everyday life, it's going to change everything around you. I can tell you that in my life, it's changed everything around me. It's changed my whole way of thinking. It's changed my whole way of being. And some of you guys have known me for a while. Some of you haven't. I remember the first day that Tina came here. She was wearing this cute little red dress, and she come up here, and she wanted to stand, and she stood right here. And she wanted prayer at the end of the service. And what she didn't know was that we were praying her in. We didn't know. But Pastor and I just realized that, you know, we had just gone through a big church split, and it was not a pretty sight. But we realized that if we're going to rebuild, let's do it right. And so we began to pray and say, Lord, we too white. So we need some other colors in here. And so you know what? Look around you. Look around you. Look around you. What has God done? Because God doesn't come in one color. He comes in all colors. And this is a way. Some vessel has to be the one to be the first. Come on. I remember. Hallelujah. I don't know how I got off on that. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, we're going back to John. John 5 and 19. Hallelujah. So for verse 19, Jesus said, therefore answered and saying, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it's something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son does in like manner. Whatever the Father does, these things the Son does in like manner. In other words, I'm not going to do anything unless it's representing the Father. Ultimately, what he's saying is, I'm going to let the Father walk in me so they can see what the Father looks like. So we can see what the Father is. We've all benefited from that. We all get to understand and we all see that. And, you know, lots of times we think that it really has to do with the miracles and things like that, because he goes on to talk about resurrection here and stuff. But the reality is, he was talking about his life, his motive. Because the question before us is, who's running your life? Who are you living for? Because when we begin to analyze who we're living for, that's when we begin to understand what God can do. I've seen what I can do, and I'm not too impressed. I've seen what God can do, and it's a whole nother situation. Amen? Amen. I stole that from Pastor Greg. Pam will know. Hallelujah. My wife will know. He used to say that all the time. Here's a couple of things. I'm going to give you some things. But number one, if you're following after him and you're looking like him and you're being like him and you only do what he sees the Father's doing, there's no place for the devil. If there's no place for the devil in your life, there's nowhere. In other words, when it says that, there's nothing. In other words, there's just a vacancy. There's no room in the inn. No room in the inn. And because of that, then there's no sin. That would be number two. Because when there's no place for the devil, then there's no place for sin to be in our life. And if we're going to follow after him, if we're going to perambulate with him, then the ultimate effect that's going to have is to remove those things from our life. It doesn't mean that you can't have an issue and start following after, because if you're following after him, he'll deal with it along the way. You don't have to do it out of your own strength. It's time for us to quit doing it in our own strength and to start counting on the grace of God and the person of God to deliver us from even ourselves. I can tell you there's a huge difference when you let God do it versus when you are doing it. Because the best that we can do as human beings is when we begin to remove ourselves from a situation, remove ourselves from sin, the best that we can do is discipline ourselves. And if you have a good discipline, you can look like Mary Poppins and you can kind of just walk around. But the reality is Jack Daniels is still in there somewhere, and it only takes a moment for it to come out. And then somebody pops off and they move in front of you and they cut you off and they give you the little flying symbol. And then all of a sudden, you're all in it with them. Because see, hate wants to release more hate. But if we quit responding to hate with hate and we start responding with love, now we're making a difference in our environment. Now we're shifting things around us. Why? Because you built a new nature within you. Because as you begin to habitate with the Lord, as you begin to enter in with the Father, as you begin to experience His holy love, then you become holy like He's holy. We can't become holy just because we read a book somewhere. The Bible's an awesome book too. But it's not going to, you got to experience Him. If it doesn't become an experience with Him, then it's just another reading. It has to become something that we experience with Him. And as we do so, now it begins to change our nature and our character. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That was just a warm-up. Number three is that now there's no place for selfishness. Because if you're following after the Father, if you're following after the Father and all that He's doing, guess what? There's no selfishness in heaven. There's no need for it. Everything, there's no lack to create selfishness. No pride to go with it. Because His nature and His character is to give. And to give abundantly. So there's no need for selfishness. Well, guess what? When we start applying that into our own relationships, it's hard to have an argument with somebody when both of you are trying to be a blessing to the other. Hello? If I'm not interested in winning, but I'm interested in being a blessing and being an honor to you, and I'm trying to release an honor to you, guess what? I don't have, there's not a lot in me that's going to have to try to just dominate this thing in order to win. Hello? I didn't hear so much excitement for that one. Because the nature of God is to release honor and blessing. It's His nature to release honor and blessing. And when He releases honor and blessing, guess what? It's going to have a response in the person who's receiving. I understand that, you know, with not every marriage, there's an honor culture. But the more we instill an honor culture in every relationship, Justin's been talking a whole lot about unity. Well, guess what? When we start instilling the lack of selfishness, is one of the things that begins to open up a culture of honor and a culture of unity. Unity is going to be number four. Because unity becomes possible in the presence of God. Many years ago, I was at a conference and everybody broke and went to lunch. And all of a sudden, I was just captivated by the presence of God. I couldn't get up off my seat if I had wanted to. There were several people who were trying to get me to go somewhere. And I was like, I'm going to sit right here. I don't know what this is. I don't know what's happening, but I just got to pray. And so as I sat there and I prayed and everybody else emptied out of the sanctuary, suddenly I was transported into this land and I could see off in the distance, I could see the enemy's encampment and how he was camped over this valley and how he intended to swoop down on people who were unsuspecting and didn't know. And yet I also understood that everybody who was with me, we were all connected to the Father. Every heartbeat was in unison with the Father. Every thought in this place that where we were sitting in this line, we were all lined up, everybody according to their rank, everybody according to their place. Everybody knew where they belonged and there was no contention. But as they were standing here and we were about to move out, I could see and I actually felt pity for the enemy. Because when the assault was going to come and the body was in such perfect unity, there was no place for division. There was no place for a distraction. There was no place for anything but the thought of the Father. And even though we were ranked and according to whatever your rank was, there was places in there for every heart and every person. But every heart and every person was connected in hearing from the Father so that we all acted in one heartbeat, in one unison. And there is nothing that can stand in the way of that. That was the vision. That was what he began to see and began to impute and impart to me in that moment, is an understanding of what the power of this unity is. And that's the thing that I'm so excited to see happening here within the body, is this drawing together, letting go of the other things, letting go of the other distractions, and stepping into this unity, which will draw us into a place where we can begin to bring about the destruction on the enemy that is just so needed in this day. Hallelujah. Just recognize that unity does not mean conformity. Conformity means everybody's got to look alike. Look around in here. Does everybody look alike? Does everybody look alike? We don't look alike, do we, Tim? We don't look alike. That's a good thing. Unity is having one mission. Unity is having the mission in the heart of the Father. Jesus had the heart of the Father. Jesus knew the mission of the Father. Jesus wasn't just acting on his own. He was actively engaged with the Father every moment of every day. And because he was engaged with the Father, he could fully complete the Father's will for that moment. The more that we draw into his favor, the more that we draw into his presence, the more that we understand of our Heavenly Father, the more we receive of his love, the more we can pour out the way he asked us to in the moment he asked us to. See, Friday night, Justin made a good point. Fear will keep you from engaging what the Father has, and he'll keep you engaging from engaging others. But see, that doesn't happen when we have that total unity of thought, unity of purpose, and we're no longer operating in a place of selfishness. Because, see, out of us, in other words, there's some level of selfishness that keeps me from coming up and evangelizing you. Especially right here.
Yeah, praise God. Come on, brother.
I think I'll have to back off from that one for the moment until I get some more faith. Hallelujah. So there's with what God is doing, when he puts something in your heart, now he's giving you a driving force to release. Because why? Because we're in alignment with him now. Because when we see and understand his vision for something, now we're able to release. And that comes, why? Because we spent some time in preparation in his presence. The preparation of presence. It blessed me tremendously. And this morning, I've been coming in and just worshiping early before anybody gets here, and most of the time it's just me and my wife and maybe one or two others. Today I came in and I found that people beat me here, and the atmosphere was awesome. The atmosphere was just rich and thick. It was beautiful, and it blessed me. Because why? Because there's people who came for no other purpose but to honor their God, to worship, to honor the one who is our King, the one who has created us, and the one who's made everything possible for us. And it was just pouring out of their hearts. It was each, and there was nothing to do but just kneel down and just, Lord, this is just wonderful. Hallelujah. So unity. Unity comes because we enter into a harmony with the Lord. Harmony fosters unity. When we're in harmony with Him, now we can actually be in harmony with our neighbor. Because the first law is like the second. The first law is to love the Lord with all your heart, all your might, all your soul. And the next one is to love your neighbor as yourself. Because see, when we become in harmony with Him, now that love flows in us enough so that we're able to break the barriers and flow to you. Glory to God. Number five is that divine strategies are released. When you spend time with the Father, even unintentionally, divine strategies are released. If you're spending time with the Father on purpose, divine strategies are released. But sometimes, even when you're not expecting it, they're released. There was a prayer service a while back, 2 months ago, 6 weeks ago. Anyway, one of the words that came out was about opportunity ships. There was a setting forth of opportunity ships. And immediately the next day, I get a call from our little broker guy, and he says, we've got a situation. He said, one of your bonds came due, and you got to do something with it today. And I have a couple of suggestions, and he leaned off a whole list of suggestions. One of the things was FedEx. And so he named off FedEx, and I said, that's it, opportunity ships. Opportunity ships. Knock, knock, knock. Knock, knock, knock. Pay attention. Pay attention. Opportunity ships. So FedEx, being that they ship, I always said, put my money there. Put my money there. Well, in that 6 weeks or 2 months, whatever it is, we've made 100% on that money. I wish all of my money had been there coming up for renewal. Hallelujah. Because it's just, because 100%. Because why? Just simply because you're paying attention to a word. You're paying attention. See, when a word is released, you got to grab a hold of it, but then you got to act with it. It doesn't matter whether you know the context around it begins. Just look, what is the word? And let me walk with it. Let me work with it. Let me see what it develops into. Hallelujah. We see divine strategies are released. On the same note, it doesn't matter what is going on in the world around us. This happened in the middle of a pandemic. I made 100% on money. Well, I'd like to say that was really great, except that Jeff Bezos made $48 billion with the pandemic. $48 billion with a B. That's kingdom money, folks. Because we've got to get out here and say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Because that should be kingdom money, not Jeff Bezos money. Come on. Come on. Because every situation releases a new opportunity. We got to quit looking at the downside of something and start looking for what is the God's anointed moment. What is God's anointed moment here? Because, see, God has an anointed moment in every situation. Because the media might want you to hear and believe one thing. They have an agenda. There's no doubt they have an agenda. But we got to look and say, God, what is it that you want me to see in the middle of this? Because whatever they're trying to make you see is not the thing that God wants you to see. God has something for you even in this moment. I know a number of people in here who have been extremely blessed during this time because why? They began to hear what God had to say and began to interact with it. Hallelujah. Jesus interacting. Multiple blind men came to him. One of them, he stuck mud in their eye. Divine strategy. You won't be my... Anybody want to let me experiment on him a little bit? Others he prayed for. Yeah, back over here. Just put mud in his eye. That side of the sanctuary? Yeah, yeah. Because why? Because we have divine strategies are unlocked because why we're spending time with the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go with me to Matthew 22. I've just been spending a bit of time here in Matthew 22. There's so many things that are in the middle of this. The thing that originally caught my eye, but there's so much more. But here, step number or position number six is we're never ever caught off guard. If you're paying attention and you're listening to the Father and you're spending time with the Father, He can unlock everything that's in front of you. Everything that's going to happen, and as He unlocks what's going to happen, now He can begin to prepare you, prepare your heart, prepare your words, and prepare your response. See, right here we see verse 18, but Jesus perceived their malice. And said, why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Because, see, he had just been telling a story. He'd been telling a story, but he released a parable. And in this parable, he began to speak. And what he was speaking about was the end of the Jewish system. And they understood, the Pharisees and the Sadducees understood he was speaking against them. And so they began to work with one another and desire to test him. But see, he was already ahead of them before they ever got to that step. When Lazarus died in John 11, Jesus was already ahead of the situation because he knew what had happened, but he also knew what God had called him to do and how long to wait before he took off. Why? Because in that divine strategy, he knew that if he left right then, they were waiting for him to kill him, and it was not time. But see, at the same time, he knew that if I wait 3 days, they will believe that it's not possible for him to be raised from the dead. And guess what? I'm going to come and do it anyway. I don't know why they thought somebody had to be thread for 3 days before they could not be raised up, but that's what they thought. But he had a strategy. The same thing here. And so, show me, verse 19, show me the coin used for the poll tax. And they brought him a denarius. And he says, whose likeness and inscription is this? In verse 21, he says, it's Caesar's. And he said to them, then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Render to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar. Render to Caesar that which has his image, and render to God what has his image. He was always speaking about the image. He was always creating the image and awareness of the image. And he said, this which has the image of God in it, give that to God. You yourself, give this to God. Give the finance, that money, over to the one that it looks like. But I want you to give yourself over to the one you look like. And how much easier is it for us to begin to recognize what God is doing and to do what's in accordance with Him if we actually recognize His image? If you saw, and when they're separating, looking for counterfeit bills, the real way to do this is to know what the image of the original looks like. That way, anything that doesn't look or feel like the original. When I'm pulling weeds out of the monkey grass, I don't even have to look at it. I can just be praying. And why? Because I can feel the difference between what the monkey grass feels like and what something else feels like. And if it doesn't feel like monkey grass, I pull it. I don't even have to look at it. It's simple. Simply because why? You're aware of what the original looks like. When we're aware of what the original looks like, it's a whole lot easier to duplicate that which we're aware of. Glory to God. So we're not caught off guard. Back in John 5, I want to For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. Greater works than these he will show him, that you may marvel. Verse 21, for just as the Father raises the dead and gives him life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. For not even, verse 22, not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son in order that all may honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So what he's saying here is that in this moment, as we begin to understand him and his love, there's authority imparted. There's authority that is released as you begin to recognize and interact with your Heavenly Father. As you interact with him, there's a part of his authority that begins to be part of you. And as it's part of you, then it begins to be released. And why? Because now God can trust you to do what he actually asked you to do. And when he trusts you, now he can give all judgment into your hand, just as he gave it into Christ's hand. Because why? Because you look like Christ, and you're going to act like Christ, and you're not going to use it against somebody you shouldn't. I'm thinking about it. There was a real redneck video out there about this guy had some nunchucks, and they're made out of 2 16-ounce Coke bottles and some chain in between it. And I mean, he gives you one really good piece of advice. He says, "Don't ninja. Nobody don't need ninja." Don't ninja nobody that don't need ninja. It's really great English. My purpose of saying that is that when God can trust you, you're not going to ninja somebody who didn't need ninja. You're not going to take it out on them and blast them. You're not going to take your Bible and, you know, not that anybody has ever done this that I know, but you're not going to take your Bible and beat somebody up with it. Why? Because love is operating in you. Because love is operating in you. Because authority is moving through you. And you're very aware of the authority that's moving through you. And when you're aware of the authority that's moving through you, now you become sensitive to the needs of those around you. And as that's happened, then there's a release that happens on their behalf. Not because you need it, but because they need it. And not because you're trying to hurt somebody, because you're trying to bless somebody and bring them into increase and bring them into maturity. Sometimes we have to say something that it can be a little sharp, but it's being said out of the love and out of the motivation of love. When it's being said out of a motivation of love, the response now, it can be a response of love. I can say the same thing. I can do the same thing, but depending on my attitude when I do it, I release something with it that may or may not be gone. Not that I've ever done that. We're sanctified now that we're pastors. Glory to God. Melissa, don't say nothing. Just look and smile. See, when he can trust you to get things done his way. That's the thing that he's looking. It's not just getting it done. It actually matters whether it's done his way. it matters a lot whether it's done His way. That's the whole thing that He's wanting to release. And that's the reason that He's making you in His image. That's the reason He wants to walk in you, is because that way it gets done His way. And when He's walking in you, now all of a sudden His image can fall on somebody who didn't even know who God was just a few moments ago. That anointing can fall on somebody. That prophetic word can fall on somebody. That evangelistic word can fall on somebody out of the heart of God instead of out of somebody else's motivation. Shada. Shada. The name above every name. The name above every name. There's only one name. Only one name that matters. Come on. Number eight. I only got 24, so don't worry about it. Oh, seven was authority is imparted. But number eight is nothing will be hidden. Nothing will be hidden. Now, I'm not telling you to go around looking for your issue. Okay, let's not be silly. I was going to say another word, but that's easy. In other words, I'm not telling you that you have to go and dig for your problem. Guess what? Your problems will percolate by themselves. Your issues will be evident all by themselves. But the more that we come into the presence of God, the more that our issue can come up in a way that it'll be released, in a way that can be taken care of, in a way where it can be set aside and dealt with in the presence of God. Because it's the thing, it's when our issue comes up and we try to hide from it that we create issues for the Lord. He doesn't have a problem with you. Yeah, sometimes we have a problem with you. But he's not looking to persecute you. He did that to Jesus on the cross. He already applied what was coming to you to the cross. And so He's not looking to do that. All He's looking to do now is set you free. He's looking to bring you up into His bosom and draw you into this place of love and draw you into His kindness and draw you into His grace so that you can freely let go of whatever it was that was in your place. John 4:24 says that, you know, we worship Him in spirit and in truth. When we worship in spirit and truth, that means that we're worshiping Him out of an image that looks like Him and out of the truth that is in us. Nothing hidden. Hebrews 4:13 tells us that that all things are open and laid bare before Him. I've told you guys a long time. That used to terrify me. When I first became a Christian, the fact that everything was open and laid bare before Him was not an encouraging thought. It was kind of terrifying. But when I began to understand His nature and who He was, and I began to see His love and began to see this grace, and I began to receive these things, now everything being open and laid bare before Him is exactly what I want. Because if there's something that they dealt with, I want it dealt on this side of my life, not on the other side. Because I don't want to stand before Him having missed something because I was afraid to deal with it today. Because I'm not going to miss out on my inheritance. I'm not going to miss out on everything that I got common because I refused to deal with something that I wanted to keep hidden here. If I stand in front of Him and allow Him to deal with it, then I can actually begin to experience the love that He's showing me. You know, and in a relationship, when you get to the point where you can say and do anything with the other person and they love you and accept you anyway, it's a miracle, Juan. It's a miracle. But it's a miracle that echoes what this relationship with the Father is supposed to be. Because see, that's what causes us. That's the whole thing that it causes us. Because why? Because the more that I hand him, the more I can learn to trust him. The more that I give the Father and he does something responsible with it. Because he's always going to do what's responsible with it. He's always going to do what's best with me with it. And as he does so, he proves, and that testimony creates a new testimony within me. And that testimony releases me to be able to release something else. And that releases me to release something else. And that releases me to release something else. And guess what? After a little while, you release enough testimony that you totally believe what he said he would do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mm. John 1 and 7. 1 John 1:7 says that if we'll walk in the light as he walks in the light. The object here is not to try to work on it yourself. The object here is simply to invite the light. Invite the light. Let the light of God shine into your heart. Let the light of God shine into everything about your consciousness. And when that begins to happen, now we're walking in with him. We're walking hand in hand with him. And as we do so, then we are finding the light. And guess, we're walking in the light as he walks in the light. Light's released. Light is released when you walk in the light. The same as it was when the Father says, I want to walk in them. I want to be a father to them. I want to be a God to them. If I'm walking in the light, I'm walking just like that. Because why? Because I'm walking with him. In the same way he steps, I step. The same heartbeat he has, I have. And as I do so, that begins to have an effect in my personal space, but also in the environment around me. You can change the atmosphere around you. Hallelujah. Number 9 says it simplifies our choices. It simplifies our choices. There's a lot right now. There's a whole world of politics out there, and there's a whole lot of choices. Your choice becomes real simple when you follow God. It becomes real simple when we follow after his heart. Because now we want to do what he wants to do. Now we put ourselves in his shoes, and now we recognize that he's walking with me, and whatever I'm doing, it's representing him, so I want it to be something that's of him. Glory to God. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to just give you a scripture from Hebrews 12, verse 14. And it just says this, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. So we pursue peace. In other words, peace is the natural result of spending time with him. Why? Because when you're in his presence, now all of a sudden there's a glory that comes up with you, and there's a confidence that comes up out of that glory, and that brings you into a place of peace regardless of what's going on around you. And that brings in it, and as you stand in it, there's a sanctification process that's released. Why? Because we're seeing the Lord. We're seeing the Lord. Let me wrap this up. There's no higher calling than to function as a son. There's no higher calling. You know, some people want to stack it up where you got to be a prophet, a pastor, a evangelist, a priest, or you got to be somewhere in the fivefold to really, really matter. That's the biggest lie ever. The greatest anointing is to function as a son. Function as a son. Every believer can function as a son. The rest of us are here to serve you. The rest of us are here to serve you. But if what our goal is for everybody to function as a son. Because if you're functioning as a son, there's a whole bunch of little Jesuses that are out there loose in Walmart. There's a whole bunch of little people, little Jesuses running around on the streets of Houston. Function as a son. Know who you are in Christ. Know who Christ is in you. Hallelujah. So let me tell you this. The greatest part of this is that it answers the burning within. The whole purpose of this, the whole purpose of going and you wouldn't be here in this church if you didn't have a burning within. The whole purpose of being here is because there's something in you that knows that you haven't seen whatever you need to see yet. That you haven't come to the place that you need to come to yet. That you haven't seen the supernatural in the way that you're supposed to see it yet. That it knows in, somewhere in your heart, you know that there's something greater that you were called to and it has yet to be revealed. But it's there, and I'm telling you, he's here in the business of revealing to you what it is you're calling to. What it is that you're, what it is that you are manufactured and created for. Because it's his desire for every one of us to function as a son. It's his desire for every one of us to carry his glory and to represent him on this earth. And this is something that yet the fullness of it is in the process of being revealed. But I tell you right now, prophetically, the time is near. The time is near. And it's a time for us to set up, and it's a time for us to stand up, and it's a time for us to recognize Christ in me, the hope of glory. And so I can begin to release the glory wherever I go, whether I'm here or whether I'm in my home and my study, I'm going to release the glory because it's his glory. And because I'm releasing the glory, now someone else can be affected by that, and someone else can be affected by that, and someone else can be affected by that, and someone else can be affected by that. And all of a sudden, Houston starts looking a little bit different than it used to look. Revival can actually break out. Because why? Because there's a revival in your heart. There's a revival in your heart that's just waiting for the right tender to come, waiting for the right moment to come. The moment is coming now. Hallelujah.